Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and PowerTee ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off season.
B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mass.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What names are you hearing that could replace Stevens?
Well, here's the one thing, Ryan. This is going to be a coveted job. It's the Boston Celtics. You have an infrastructure of Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, good players. Watch as these playoffs go on. There could be more candidates available to Boston than who are available now. We know things change. Teams get eliminated. Teams make decisions about their futures with coaches. So I think the candidate pool may increase, or maybe there still won't be any changes among those playing. But Boston's going to have an opportunity to really take a look at the landscape. And Brad Stevens, who's certainly well-versed within this coaching profession, is going to have the ability to have a great deal of say in who his successor is going to be. But this, I think, is a job that any number of candidates, including those who may be employed elsewhere, would love to get involved in.
Final hour, Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub, simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston on the TV side. Catch us anytime on the app, the replays. We replay every hour on 98.5thesportshub.com and the app. Good little product for your phone. Adrian Wojnarowski there saying Brad Stevens will have a big say in who the next Celtics head coach is. Can I give you my opinion on that?
Yeah. Sure.
No, he won't. He's not picking the next head coach. Who's picking the next head coach, Maz?
Wick.
Thank you.
Or Jason Tatum.
And I was just going to say, with strong input from Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
And that's who it should be. And the other thing, too, I can't imagine that they would hire a head coach without any real NBA coaching experience to pair with a GM who now has no front office experience. It doesn't really make sense.
Thank you.
Good
and
point,
this
Murray.
This doesn't have to be a former head coach, but a longtime assistant coach is fine. That's why I like someone like Billups or Sam Cassell, I think, would be a good fit. But to have someone new in that position with G. Willick, who's now in a new position, like that's, you're just asking that to fail.
You know, we have the board up on the simulcaster. We haven't mentioned Juwan Howard in Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, not bad.
Real program, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, again, you know, good NBA player. I'm trying to think, did he win a title in the NBA? I'm not sure he did. But either way, there's some cred there. You know, again, I'd put him a little farther down the list. I wouldn't put him ahead of Billups or Cassell or Tim Duncan, who an emailer brought up. To me, it's got to be, I want someone that has winning on their resume.
But he, like Billups and Cassell, like those guys are well-known. They were respected players. So I would think younger guys or guys that, you know, are Tatum's age know something about them.
Yeah, so when I say I want someone who has won, my concern on this is Tatum and Brown's attitude. Okay, these guys got to the conference finals and acted like they won their fourth ring. And so I don't think they're going to answer anybody who doesn't have credentials.
Right.
They're not going to answer to someone who doesn't have it, which is why I want someone who has a championship that can look at him and go, dude, how many rings do you have again? Because I got one, or I got five, or I got two, whatever it is, but I have them and you don't. And I just don't want them in a spot where they can challenge him.
So Howard does have two with the Heat. I've been
okay. Doing. All right. So again, then I'll take it. Absolutely. I just think it's an important part of this because these guys got, look, in this AAU culture, they come in with all this hype, all this credibility. Why do I have to answer to you? Who are you and why should I care? And I think you've got to be able to answer that or they just won't take you seriously.
So this is such a big component too. I mean, we talk about the roster and, you know, Kemba Walker and Fournier and all like important. But just the attitude adjustment that is needed. And the scary thing for me, there's nothing you can do about this. But what would scare me is that Tatum can't be reached. He can't be changed. Because this team feels so freaking soft to me. And oh, by the way, you know, and again, the Kyrie thing just exposed it so badly. Oh my God, it exposed it so badly. You never pushed back against him. And I don't know if that's part softness, but it's also you like him. The players like him and side with him. As abhorrent as Kyrie Irving, you know, acted here in this last week, the garbage move before he even got here. And you know, of course, he got the win because that knucklehead throws the water bottle. But anyway, Kyrie started the whole thing. Your players sided with him. Your players side with him more than they do with us, you, fans, media, the Celtics organization, Brad, Danny, Wick. They didn't care that he stomped on your logo. They didn't care one bit.
No.
They gave him nothing but hugs and, you know, high fives and embraces when the thing was over. So I don't know how you change that. Like, you're really going to follow that guy who does not get it? And that's who you want? That's who you side with? And then there's this whole thing. Like, I think it was reported by Jared Weiss in The Athletic. It just blows me away that the chemistry issues on the Celtics were strained this year, not just by health, COVID protocols, and public pressure, but by the way, the Celtics were discussed by team leadership, according to multiple sources familiar with the players' thinking. There were several inflection points where the roster might not have felt supported, particularly after Ainge and team governor Wick Grosbeck gave a series of interviews ahead of the trade deadline with their assessments that the team was not competitive. And they have a quote that Wick was on with us in February. This was the quote that apparently the players felt not supported by. Okay, just go ahead and play it.
I've done a little complaining in private, and I feel a little frustrated. We're not contenders. Just to jump to probably your next question, Wick, are you going to say that these guys are contenders? You can't say you're a contender if you're below 500 a third of the way into the season, and so we're not. I hope the second third or whatever is better than the first third, and we got some work to do.
What do you think the problem is? Okay, and I don't remember what the answer was, but
either way, he said that they were an under 500 team, that no team with a losing record should be considered a contender, but they were only a third of the way through the season. So that was all true. They finished 38-40, including the playoffs. So he was right. Like, what's so offensive about that to those players? Like, oh, you don't believe in us? What babies?
They're babies.
God, they're so soft. You can't take that?
Did that story say in advance of the deadline?
So now let's put that together, Maz. I knew you were going to go there. They say they might not have felt supported, particularly after Ainge and Grosbeck gave a series of interviews ahead of the trade deadline with their assessments that the team was not competitive.
And then it was right after the trade deadline that Ainge announced to the organization that he was leaving.
Yes.
So maybe, because Ainge said critical comments too, or made critical comments too.
But, I mean, these weren't critical comments. Ainge was a little more critical.
Okay, so maybe this is all connected in some way that the players said, well, that's a little harsh, don't you think? And Ainge threw his hands up and said, are you kidding me with this?
Yes.
Are you kidding me with this? Seriously? With the way you guys have had your heads jammed between your pillows all year long? Are you serious with this? And he threw his hands up and said, that's it. Or Tatum went to ownership or whoever and said, what's his problem? Complained about Ainge, and Ainge said, I'm trying to put it together.
No, I think it's all times out.
As soon as you read that story and said in advance of the trade deadline, I said, uh-oh, wait a minute, hold on. Jimmy said March 25th, according to Mark Murphy, that is when Ainge told the organization, which was right after the trade deadline. So all this stuff happened at the same time. So maybe that was it. Maybe that was just, if you believe that Ainge left and that he wasn't pushed out, that maybe that's connected. Or maybe Tatum went and complained about Ainge, and he said, I'm not going to play for this guy anymore. And I'm just dramatizing, okay?
Yeah, no, let's dramatize.
But Wick says...
Felgrimaz is based on a true story. It's not a documentary.
Yeah. Some factual events.
Yes, go ahead, yes.
Based on actual events.
Based on a true story.
Yeah, so I don't know, but the timing of it is certainly convenient, don't you think?
Yes.
Something happened around that time where the players got their panties in a ball and they got pissed off because they were taking heat and they sucked and they didn't like it and it caused something to go awry.
Wasn't this the same time that Mike Gorman was ripping the team
on TR?
Yes,
probably.
Yes. Yes, it was.
They're soft. They're soft.
So soft. Oh, my God. Go give Kyrie a hug. Oh, it's so gross.
Which, again, relates to the problem, which is they didn't want to hear the message. And maybe it wasn't the message, maybe it was who was delivering it. And so if Chauncey Billups is delivering that message, or it's Kevin Garnett, did they take it more seriously?
Well,
I hope so.
We have the answer to that based on the, you know, Tatum reacted after Kendrick Perkins, former player with a ring, has some clout, tweeted a mean tweet at him, and then he went off. You know, so yes, like that shows you that they would respond to an ex-player like that.
Something happened around that deadline.
Definitely. And I think the team has tuned out Danny like they have a coach. And I think that's a piece to this. And I think, again, that is reflective. I did not think Danny was done, like done. I thought he was going to get kicked upstairs or some sort of reorganization where he would be like a Pat Riley and they'd hire a real GM underneath them. And like, I thought that was going to happen. I think he'd be blown out of here. But that started to change in this last week when Danny Ainge just gave that dismissive comment after the first Kyrie comment last week from the golf course. I don't listen to my players. Then it's in 26 years. And then you find the quote from 2 years ago. I don't listen to these Hollywood elites, liberals. I don't listen to the players. And it's just the whole time, I'm paraphrasing a little bit there, but that whole tone was, I don't listen to what these guys have to say. And, you know, try saying that to a guy like Jaylen Brown, who thinks he's the smartest guy in the room. And, you know, Marcus Smart, you better not disrespect him. And Tatum, I don't know. I mean, maybe he's just following other guys. But, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised one bit if there was an organizational tune-out factor and Ainge was a piece to that.
Yeah, when you put all those pieces together, something happened right around then. Something happened. You add in the Jared Weiss story, the Mark Murphy story, the timing lines up. Something went awry there. At that time, something went awry. I don't think that's a stretch. I think you just look at the events and say, what the hell happened at that deadline? Since you mentioned Brown, just because you weren't here yesterday, you heard his comments that he made on Friday night?
Sure.
What'd you think of him?
So I originally thought it was great that he went after Kyrie, and then I heard Beadle at one point make a great point that said, well, why don't you name Kyrie? Why don't you go call him out? That's clearly who you're talking about. Are you afraid to call out Kyrie? And so I'm just going to I thought that was an excellent point. It made me rethink it. It's like,
he pulled back a little.
Yeah, you did. You know,
I still liked it though.
Yeah, well, no, it was still right for him to say, I'm going to paraphrase, but we don't want racism co-opted for a basketball game. And I'm not saying that's the case here. Well, no, you are saying that's the case here. And you know who you're saying it about.
Yeah, he didn't need to say the name for me, but I hate that he kind of couched it a little bit there. Like
the players, and Brown doesn't. Okay, so Brown does not like Kyrie. I think that goes back to the time he was here.
Yeah, that's evident.
So good, but he's still afraid to put his name on it and call him out. Why? Why are these guys afraid of Kyrie, that little putz?
Because I think he has power in the league.
I mean, that is scary.
I mean, and again, when I say power, influence. And again, because I think that he can lure players. They want to play with him. Ultimately, maybe it affects the competition. And I'm not sure that's even what Jaylen Brown's worried about.
God, that guy sucks so bad.
But who does?
Kyrie.
Oh, God, he's such a pain in the ass.
Painful.
And then you use the word insufferable, and I couldn't agree more.
Insufferable.
He really is. Oh, my God, it's like water torture with him.
Carrying on last night after the game?
Oh, yeah. My God,
praising
please.
His teammates and the team. Oh, stop it.
He's so, God, he's so annoying. Seriously, shut your pie hole already. God. He's a lot to take.
Okay, so there's
talk about highly concentrated.
There's your Celtics reset. Your reaction to it right after these words.
Boston's home for sports.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power T ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off season.
Waiting for your electrical supplies during the day or sitting in traffic is for the birds. Use the GCE Night Train from Granite City Electric and get access to over $50 million in local inventory with a free guaranteed overnight delivery of your electrical supplies anywhere in New England. So avoid wasting time waiting in line and sitting in traffic. Order by 5 p.m. and you'll have your materials the next morning by 6 a.m. guaranteed. Visit GCENightTrain.com to get on board the GCE Night Train today. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
Felger and Mass.
They've been incredibly consistent.
The only thing that's consistent is their inconsistency.
I don't think that's inconsistent.
Yeah, which is exactly what Murray said.
Am I misinterpreting it?
No.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Danny Ainge has been thinking about stepping down as the Celtics president for months, and he had considered, you know, a number of different possible succession plans with ownership. It's a conversation they have had. But ultimately, you know, and I think after talking with Brad Stevens, who was ready to move on from coaching, it became a situation where Danny Ainge retires, and now Brad Stevens becomes the president of basketball operations, certainly with no front office background. There is a good staff around him in Boston. He certainly can add to that. But now it'll be Brad Stevens leading a search for a new head coach. But Ainge, after 18 years in Boston and winning that one title, he decides to step away. He's calling it a retirement now. You know, there's certainly some thought around the league that, there may be more opportunities for him down the road.
Again, that's Adrian Wojnarowski with the reporting. Back to your thoughts, as promised. We've got Andrew in Easton. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yes, I was wondering what you guys thought about Jason Terry. I know he's young, African-American, played for the city. I thought possibly he could be a good coaching fit.
Okay, someone's got to help me with that.
Jason Terry played here toward the end, had a headband, went played in Dallas.
Yeah, he won a title with Dallas.
Yeah, he won with Dallas. He was on that Dallas team that won.
Sure.
Yeah, and Terry's another good one. I like Jason Terry.
What's he doing now?
Yeah, again, so, you know, he's got a ring, and so what I don't know a lot about is his personality.
Currently serves as an assistant coach for the Arizona Wildcats.
There you go.
Okay, so I like, you know, I say Billups over and over again and Cassell because I know their personalities. Cassell played here in 08, so I covered him a little bit. And Billups, I remember they played against, and I just loved his leadership. So, you know, if you tell me Terry's cut from the same cloth, I'm in.
Yep. Jack in the car. Go ahead, Jack.
I think the guy's Rajon Rondo. I know he's still playing right now, but this feels like his last year, and he's a champ. He's played for the city, and he's definitely got an edge that a lot of these other guys don't have.
Oh, he's got edge, as we discussed.
He's willing to go over it
yes.
time and again. I just don't think, look, pesky player, I just don't think he has what it takes to be a coach. Keep his cool.
Too volatile. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah. Again, so he has a strong personality, and you'd say, well, Billups does too. Billups knows where the line is. Rondo doesn't. And I would say, you know, I put Billups in sort of the same class personality-wise as someone like Doc. Or I think he's got the ability and willingness to challenge star players. But he knows that there's a line there. I got to keep this guy happy because ultimately he's my ticket. And that's a hard balance.
And he's coaching.
Right.
He's coaching now.
Right. Right. He has experience. Correct.
I want a guy who's just been on that bench a little bit. Just a little. Curtis in Georgia. Go ahead, Curtis.
Yes, I'm not calling him to bash Danny Ainge, but I told Big Jim that he wouldn't last 24 hours, and he didn't.
Right. You nailed it.
So was that you, Curtis, or was that?
What I really wanted to say, I think the biggest mistake Danny made was he put all his eggs in one basket. He thought that he could trade for Anthony Davis, and he really never had a shot at him.
Oh, he did.
And I think that's why he didn't make the trades to get Paul George or Jimmy Butler or Kawhi Leonard or none of those other guys. He was just... His mind was just made up to get Anthony Davis, and it never. Jimmy said many times that he didn't want to play him, so ain't so out of touch. Why do Jimmy know stuff he don't know?
Okay, Curtis, thanks for the call. He could have had Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis did not have a no-trade clause. Danny had the ammo to do it. Now, Anthony Davis was telling them, and so on no uncertain terms, I won't re-sign there. So all you would have gotten from him at the time he became available was like a half season and then another year after that. But you could have done it. You could have beaten that L.A. Lakers offer. You could have.
Yeah, and again, I think given what we know about the league and the way it works, that in retrospect, you say, take the short window.
I mean, it's just a legit second guess. And you could have had Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, and I think the one consistent sin or mistake, sin's the wrong word, the one consistent mistake Ainge made over and over again is he overplayed his hand. You know, I think he always viewed himself as being in a position of strength because he had Brown and he had Tatum and I can do whatever I want. And he did it with Indiana. He probably did it with Anthony Davis. He overplayed his hand and he thought he could get the guy for a song. And he didn't. And he missed on a bunch of chances and he held on to his draft picks and they didn't pan out. So he overplayed his hand. I just don't think there's any way around that.
All those stupid draft picks.
Oh, my God.
You could have had, again, Anthony Davis. You could have had Kawhi Leonard. Wasn't Jimmy Butler in play at one point, too? Like, all these legitimate stud players.
Oh.
You'd be in such a different place.
Didn't you have the deal to move up for Luka? Jimmy Stewart?
Yeah, there was...
Jaylen Brown was in on that deal, wasn't he?
Yeah, you could have moved. You could have traded Jaylen Brown for Luka Doncic, and you said no.
That would have been pretty good.
So, yes, a little bit too much hoarding. And Mike and Natick, go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Mike, welcome back. I actually called yesterday. I was leading the bench Jake DeBrusque bandwagon.
It's good. It's good to see you guys were carrying on good work yesterday.
I called today, though, because I think Juwan Howard would be a great fit as a head coach here.
Yeah, that's
assistant coach for Miami before, you know, University of Michigan, doing great there. Relates to the young kids.
Yep, I like it. Put him on the list. Someone I would definitely consider. And I don't like, I know the college coach thing doesn't work, Maz, but that's not your classic college
coach. No, he's a little different.
Former NBA star.
Yeah, right.
Who's just gone down there because that was the job. He's done it for a couple of years. But it's not like he's this entrenched college program. No, he's a pro. He's an NBA guy that came back and took over his old college team.
Yeah, we're not talking about Calipari and Patino.
Right.
Right? No, I agree. He's a little different. Because he's an NBA guy who went back to his alma mater. It's different.
We've got Henry in Worcester. Go ahead, Henry.
Michael, I learned two things after this Brooklyn series. Number one, Mike, you're as soft as the Celtics are. We got to get rid of the logo. It's antiquated. Let me tell you, the Celtics uniforms were there before the logo, and they look great. So enough with that crap, all right? It's foolish. Players don't come here because of the logo. And number two, the Celtics are soft. You stole my thunder earlier when you said it. They are soft as baby poop. You take Danny Ainge, who compiled this steaming pile of soft poop, and now we're putting GM Willekes up there? Come on, enough! Enough with this!
Okay, Henry.
Let's get somebody in there that's going to get this team to actually have an identity. They have to be firm. They have to be solid. We got to get solid players in there that know their roles, that know what they're doing.
You have to have players with talent and guys that have an edge and compete. And, you know, oddly enough, that's kind of a tricky thing to find in the NBA, apparently. A guy that's really talented and really, really wants to win, like that's his primary goal. Because it feels like the really, really talented guys, their primary goal is to build their brand. That's their number one goal. And then the winning, it comes way down the line. So it's kind of a tricky thing. And then, you know, if you really, really want to win, I mean, maybe it means you suck. And you're not going to be the max contract guy, and you're not going to build your own brand, so you want to be on a winner. So how do you find the two? Rare, very hard to find. But I would keep the talent and hope that you find that other thing. And, oh, by the way, your logo's dumb. It's a dumbass, antiquated logo. Sorry, Henry. I disagree with you on that. And I don't care if they change it or not. I've told you a million times, I don't think it's important, but since it's on the court and you've got players stomping on it, I thought I'd just give you my opinion on it.
Yeah, Felga, you're as wussy as the player.
It's a good call, though. I liked it. Dan in Quincy. Hi, Dan.
What's up, guys? Yeah, I'm calling probably like a Chris Webber, maybe, taking the coaching job if he's interested. I mean, he's going to be a Hall of Famer, and he's out of a job from TNT. He's been watching film, calling games, et cetera. So what do you guys think about him?
Chris Webber.
Yeah, I don't want him managing the timeouts at the end of the game.
Beat me too, I was just
going
to say.
And if we're going ex-Michigan guys, then go with Juwan Howard.
Yeah, I'd take Howard over Webber too. Again, so Webber never won. Like, you know, and a good player. Howard feels to me like a little sterner than Webber. And so I'd lean Howard there.
Did Webber ever coach? You know, again,
I don't think so.
The fact that even if they're just being an assistant and Howard taking that job means to me he wants to coach. He wants to be a coach. He's probably studying to be a coach. He's trying to learn to be a better coach. That's what he wants to be. He's not a broadcaster who's between gigs and, oh, yeah, I'll try it out. Like, I'm not interested in that guy. Or, again,
The only place for guys like that are teams that are, like, ready to win now, like Brooklyn. Like, you know, you could put... Chris Webber is the head coach at Brooklyn because all you got to do is stand there. Like, it's up to the players.
No, I want a guy who is a coach, wants to be a coach, is working to be a coach. Not an analyst who is between jobs and you might be able to get because you think he'd be cool. Like, I'm not doing that guy. Here's a Big Jim Murray's update, back with the final segment of your calls shortly after.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power Tee ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off-season.
Waiting for your electrical supplies during the day or sitting in traffic is for the birds. Use the GCE Night Train from Granite City Electric and get access to over $50 million in local inventory with a free guaranteed overnight delivery of your electrical supplies anywhere in New England. So avoid wasting time waiting in line and sitting in traffic. Order by 5 p.m. and you'll have your materials the next morning by 6 a.m. guaranteed. Visit GCENightTrain.com to get on board the GCE Night Train today. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
Please, Maz. What the?
Felger and Maz.
What the F are we doing here?
98.5.
What are we doing?
The Sports Hub.
All right, final call, final segment of your calls on the big story of today. Breaking news. Celtics have moved on from Danny Ainge. He has, quote-unquote, retired. Although just from you, not from basketball. He apparently has been looking at jobs on other teams and left the door open to join another team today. So the team has moved on from Danny Ainge, and they've kicked Brad Stevens upstairs to Danny Ainge's old job, which is, to me, curious. And we'll see how that plays out. I'm curious if there is another shoe to drop on that story. And we'll wrap up your reaction to it. Marquise in Taunton. Go ahead, Marquise.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, fellas. Quick question. So I'm happy that Brad's moving up. I think it's going to be a great move. He's good at identifying talent, just not good at motivating them. However, do you guys think Brad can take away the emotional investment that he had coaching these guys? We thought Ainge was hard to trade people away. He never traded Smart. So do you guys think Brad can do it? Thanks for taking my call.
I don't know. I don't know that Brad Stevens has an eye for talent.
Yeah, I don't either. I'll tell you what, I'm intrigued by this part of it. Was Stevens nice to these guys because he had to be?
Yes.
And now that he's in the front office, will he say, you know what, you were a pain in the ass when I had to coach. I'll trade your ass out of here.
But that's still, you still risk of tuning the player out.
Well, sure. But again, you can do it as a GM, right? If the coach is on the player's side.
But it's not going to make Tatum happy or Brown happy. It's not going to make these guys any happier.
Now I'm the big swinging at the basketball factory. You're going to have to listen to me.
I don't know. The Stevens part of it is curious, really. Like, you look at the whole thing, and I don't know how it's going to go either. And maybe it's as simple as the Celtics holding on to him because he's under contract and they're waiting for another team to approach them and say, we want Brad Stevens to be our coach.
But the caller was also asking, will Stevens miss coaching this group? No.
Oh, no, not this group. Yeah, I think he's done with them.
But I don't know if he's, I don't know, he just feels like he belongs with the whistle around his neck. That's just what he is.
Yeah, it feels that way, right?
Rocco in East Somerville. Hi, Rocco.
He's an instructor.
Hey, Magic Mike. How you doing,
good,
buddy?
Man. How you doing?
Good, good. Listen, so I want to talk about my coaching candidate, but first, the Celtics need a big man, right? They need some nastiness. I will go get that kid, Jared Allen from the Cavs. He's nasty, man. But anyway, my coaching candidate is Mike Brown. And we're living in a fantasy. This is a fantasy trade. I would put Marcus Smart for a player coach, Mike Brown with Pascal to the Celtics, and Marcus Smart to the Warriors. What do you guys think about that?
Thank you. Well, just Mike Brown. So he has had experience in the league. I mean, when he was in Cleveland, I thought he was kind of a joke.
Me too. I don't want him.
Okay.
But does LeBron co-sign on him? Like, if LeBron says something good about him, doesn't that give him some clout?
Yes. And he did coach the Lakers, and he, you know, did he fill in for Kerr last year on the Warriors? Wasn't he the guy?
Yeah, for a little while.
That filled, you know, so it's like, I don't know. Maybe he's evolved since then, or he's got some cred because he's coached. Did he coach LeBron? No, that was way long time ago. But he coached Steph Curry. And I mean, I don't know. I'm grasping at straws. That is not a name that I would. I don't feel like that's a fresh name.
No, he's a retread.
Thank you.
You know, he's a retread. So I don't want a retread. I want someone new and dynamic.
Stephen Haverhill. Go ahead, Steve.
Steve from Abel?
Yes, Stephen Haverhill.
How you doing? Hi. First time caller. Listen, I like Sam Cassell, but I'm good with Chauncey Billups. I think the Celtics, you know, like you said, they're weak. But you know something? Tatum, Brown, those guys, you know, are supposed to be scorers. They're not looking for fights and stuff. Marcus Smart's supposed to be looking for the fights, and he cowered down. And where's Tristan Thompson? He played game. Did you see him in game three? Where's that been all year?
I'm with
you. This guy was supposed to come here and be the enforcer, right?
I'm with you.
He showed up for one game all year.
One game. One game.
I'm laughing because it's true.
Yeah, the rest of the time he was down the seaport grabbing dinner.
Seriously, it's so
one
true.
Freaking game.
Oh, I did like him that night, though.
It's perfect.
So with him, I half get it. Like, if he wants to say I don't play till the spring, well, he's won. So, like, I half get it. But the other guys, you haven't won anything. Where do you get off not playing until the spring? Like, that one blows me away.
Seriously.
The worst thing that happened to these guys was getting success early on. It was the worst thing that happened to them.
We have Lewis in Weymouth. Hi, Lewis.
Hey, Mikey. My coach candidate is Nolan Smith. He played in the league. He's the assistant at Duke, and his dad was on the Celtics in the 90s.
Okay.
I'll hang up and let you go.
Okay, Lewis. No, see, now I guess we would do the
island. Yeah, who's your coach?
Yeah, I want this guy. So I got to fire up the Google machine. What was his name?
Nolan Smith.
Nolan Smith.
Yeah, my coaching candidate is Coach K because he's retiring from Duke, but I think he's still got something in the tank, and he wants to be in the NBA because he's never done it. He wants to win here.
I mean, fine with me. Like, I don't know a thing about this guy, a thing about him. He said there was a local connection. Oh, his dad played here? Who gives a rat's ass?
Like, my father, that's
who. I mean, my God. Like, let's get... I don't need it to be a former Celtic, too. Is it important to you guys?
No.
I know it's not
for you. No, might be important to them, though.
I'm speaking to Boston. I'm speaking to Wick. Is it important to you?
I bet it is to them.
He's a Celtic. I'll blow it out your ass with that. Like, what do you care what he is? If he can come there and win, that's what you want, right? That's the bottom line.
Brian Stevens, he wasn't a Celtic.
Right.
Yeah, but he wasn't tainted by anyone else either. So I'll tell you, like, during the break, I said to you, someone texted me, it might have been Vinny, our TV producer, who texted me James Posey's name. What about James Posey?
Sure.
So he coached in Cleveland for 5 years as an assistant, and he's a former Celtic. So I admit that entered into my thinking, like, well, he's been here, he knows what it's about, so sure, why not? I like Posey.
Okay, so that thing, like, you want to tell me, fine. He's been here recently enough to know the climate with the media and the fans and some of these other big picture issues we've been talking about. That there's value there. But I don't need, like, he's a Celtic.
No.
Like, I don't give two poop. You and you shouldn't either.
No, I couldn't give a rat's ass about that. I told you, I'd take Chauncey Billups in a minute, although he was a Celtic, too, for 5 minutes. Thanks to Patino, they traded his ass out of town.
Steven Rockland. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Great show today. Hey, I don't know really what to say. You know, I listen to you guys, and it's like, I totally agree with it. It's like the heart and soul is starting to, like, go out of the league. It's all the players. They're spoiled. They're rich. They're this. They're that. They're young. They're loaded. But can you imagine if Bill Laimbeer did that, you know, walked over to Lucky after the game was over, did what Kyrie did, and then Larry Bird standing there? What do you think Larry would have done? I'm not going to go up and give him a big smooch. You know, I mean, come on.
It's a big smooch fest. Now it's a big smooch fest. Maybe to the point they stayed behind in New York and partied it up with Kyrie Irving. Who knows? But there were the big hug session there at the end of that game. Just gross. How'd you feel about the logo stomp? I haven't been here for your direct take.
So, like, it didn't offend me. Like, again, I understand what you're saying about a player should want to get in Kyrie's face about it. And again, it happened after everyone had left the floor. Okay, so it's not like someone's going to fight him right then and there.
No, it was during that very late timeout, wasn't it?
I think he did a final buzzer. Yeah, but he did it right before he walked off the floor.
Right, but
and then they threw the bottle at him, or the fan threw the bottle.
Yeah. But it was. No, players were still on the floor.
I thought a lot of them had cleared out. I'll watch it again.
Well, they weren't in camera shot. I mean, I'll grant you that. It's not like, you know, Tristan Thompson was standing there
exactly
when he stomped on the thing. He was out of camera shot. But I think, like the Nets, they were gathering on the floor after the final timeout or final buzzer. They bet the Celts were doing it camera left. You just didn't see it.
Yeah, so it didn't bother me personally, and, like, the fans who call in and say, yeah, he stepped on the logo. But I don't give a rat's ass.
I know, but, you know, players take that stuff seriously.
Yeah,
well, older players do, because not today's
player. Hold on, wait a minute. Didn't we just have a thing in the NFL with the Ravens and the Titans dancing on their logo and it turned into a big kerfuffle?
Like, yeah,
and
that's an NFL thing.
And I thought it was stupid.
It is stupid to us, but to the players, they care.
Okay, so this is what I'm saying, is that I personally don't care. I think it's stupid, but I look at the players on the team, and I would have liked to have seen some sort of answer last night.
Thank you. It should mean something to them. It does, traditionally. But there's a lot of examples of the logo stomping. The effing Bruins don't let reporters stand on the logo on the carpet in the middle of the locker room.
I made that mistake once.
That's kind of stupid.
I got chastised.
I'm sorry, dude.
I didn't know the rule.
I just backed into it. I forgot. Give me a break.
You don't step on the B.
Get over yourself.
I did. I got chastised for that. And I went, wow, when you guys call a baseball clubhouse a bunch of tight asses? Like, I did it by accident. Like, you view it as a sign of disrespect.
Did you mention that you happen to suck?
Yeah, right.
You know, why don't you win something before you worry about your dumbass logo in
correct.
The middle of the locker room?
Yeah, so look, my issue is with fans who go, oh, I can't believe he stepped on the logo.
Okay, and I'm with you like that. Like, believe me, as I've said many, many times, I think Lucky the Leprechaun's time has come. He's long since time to put Lucky out to pasture. So I got no affinity for the particular logo. I'm just talking about the way players generally deal with that thing. I mean, remember when T.O. stood on the star and he got pulverized and Baker Mayfield dotting the I at Ohio State. Like, you dance on another team's logo, like, that's kind of a not allowed kind of thing.
Yeah, it's disrespectful to the competition.
Yes.
Right, to the competition. Like, I think so little to your franchise, I'm going to wipe my feet on you. But to the Celtics, you know what I would say? Don't suck. Don't let them wipe their feet on you, because that's what they did on the floor.
And then Washburn wrote again that that's not the first time that logo's been spat on or stepped on, like, intentionally. Like, that's a thing? Players come in here and give Lucky the business?
No, that's now the first I've heard of it.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that either. But, again, there was one time in the whole series where I thought there was a little attitude toward Kyrie. And that's Tatum on that game three. Tatum had the ball in the right wing. Kyrie was on him. And Tatum started to go up, and Kyrie hacked him, and Tatum made the shot anyway. Kyrie turned his back and walked away, and Tatum kind of stared him down. But that was it. That was the only time. Because Tatum was so hot, it was almost like, "Dad, follow me. I'll still make the shot. You a-hole." Like, that's what. But that was the only time I felt like there was a little attitude towards Kyrie.
Not the a-hole part. They don't think he's an a-hole. They love him. John in Boston. Hi, John.
Hi, guys. Great show. I just wanted to throw my two cents in. This was a long time coming with Danny. He's just a great guy, and all, just out of touch with what, you know, needs to happen to win the NBA. And I think they kept Stevens, even though the locker room has tuned him out. They wanted him around probably to keep Jason Tatum happy. I think Tatum likes him and respects him. And with Stevens knowing what Tatum wants directly, I think that's how they're going to start building
so
their team around him. Because
you think Tatum likes and respects Brad Stevens? Is that what you said?
That's my personal opinion. I think Brad is smart. I think.
Well, John, okay. We're up against. Personal opinion. I haven't seen anything that. I mean, I don't feel that way with Tatum. I think Stevens lost Tatum and Brown in the team a long time ago. I don't think he's got any of those guys. I don't think any of those guys, quote unquote, like or respect him.
Well, look, you know, we had Washburn on one day, I think, where you were out, and we asked Washburn point blank about the relationship between Stevens and Tatum and Brown, and he said it's cordial. It's cordial. It's or maybe he said professional, but he used what I would call kind of a clinical term.
Yeah,
you know, a sort of a sterile term. And he also said that if they're going to get where they want to go, the relationship has to get better. So I'll take Washburn's word for it. Like, with all due respect to the caller, he's in the middle of it every day. So do I think it was bad? No. Do I think it was great? No. And so, you know, this is part of the reason why Stevens is out of there. I think part of Stevens is happy that he said, fine, it wasn't working with me. They were tuning me out, and so fine, get me out of there. And maybe the Celtics are content with this current scenario, because if someone does come calling for Stevens now as a coach, they can trade him and get a pick for him.
Yes, sir.
As opposed to just firing him and sending him on, you know, on his way, and someone else hires him and they get nothing.
That's what I'm smelling.
I mean, didn't they get a first for Doc?
Or trade swap or something, yeah.
They got a first-round pick for Doc Rivers.
Hmm. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, it was one of the ones that Danny hoarded. He turned into the 12th player up in Maine.
So I wonder what they can get for Danny Ainge if they trade him to Portland or Utah.
Oh, there's a good one.
The Maine Celtics.
Trade your ass. All right, there you go. Quite a day in Celtic land there. We'll pick it up tomorrow at 2, but coming up next will be your final word.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub, and streaming anywhere you go. On the Sports Hub app.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power Tee ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off-season.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Night Train overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at GraniteCityElectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal in tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Nobody. You know, for years now, I've heard the rumblings, the whispers of Mike Felger, scratch golfer.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Felger's a stick. Felger's nasty at golf. But you bring up golf to Felger, and nope, I've retired. I don't play anymore. No more golf. Well, imagine our collective surprise as a show when we got the email chain started by Mike at like midnight last night. Like, nope, guys, I've come out of retirement. I'm back golfing. Friends 50th, like they've brought me back. They've pulled me back in. Like, holy crap, Felger's back golfing, which is kind of a surprise.
Yeah, senior tour.
Considering this rant from just a scant few years ago.
This thing about time with the family, time with the family, time with the family. And then he goes golfing. There is nothing that divides a family more than golf. It is the great divider. You are almost better off cheating on your wife than golfing. Like, it's 1 and 1A. You know I'm right, guys who golf. You know it.
I might have to reassess some things.
How much, like, just, you know what it causes inside your house. So then you end up getting up at 6 in the morning on Saturday, so you could do it in 3 hours, so she's not just staring bullets at you all weekend long, so you can maybe prayer to get it in.
Six.
In 3 or 4 hours.
Try 5 o'clock.
Right, you get up at the ass crack of dawn to get this golf in because you've got to do it, and you just don't want the death stare from your wife when you get home and her tossing children in your lap like, now it's your turn, a-hole. Like, you know what golf does to a family. It destroys them because the gals can't handle it. It's one of the worst things you can do. If you want to patch things up with your family, be good to your wife and be good to your family, the last thing in the world you do is go golfing. The last. And Brady, what's Mr. Family Man doing? Golfing.
I stand by that. I came out of retirement yesterday, and today I played golf for the first time in like 6 years, 5 years. And I'm not making this up. The wood kind of looked at me sideways on the way out the door. Like,
oh, really?
You're going golfing? I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I don't golf. I don't fish, but I don't golf. It's the first. I golf once in 6 years, and I felt I got a little tone on the way out the door.
Oh, don't kid yourself. She was doing cartwheels. Please, you going out the door?
There's something about golf that just...
You know, now that you mention it, my wife doesn't seem to give me much grief about golf. Only heaven knows what's going on when I'm not there.
So, no surprise here. I am not a morning person, but the one thing I will get up at the ass crack of dawn for is stupid golf, and I think it rubs Jasmine the wrong way.
Yeah, no. You can just tell, right?
Yeah, yeah.
There's just... It's
you'll get up for this.
Right. And it's such a time. It's, you know, 5-6 hours. By the time you go, come back, whatever.
How'd you play, by the way?
I played pretty well.
I came on strong. The swing is still there.
All right.
When you if you saw my swing,
the natural athlete,
you'd say, yeah, this guy used to be a player. No touch, hammering the ball all over the place. Lost all my touch.
But did you use that stupid dumbass long putter that you use?
No, I was able to go back to the regular one. I've lost the shakes. 6 years away from the course, I've officially lost the shakes.
Yeah,
please.
They'll be back.
Okay.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and PowerTee ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off-season.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Night Train overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at GraniteCityElectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.